If you could have anything your eyes desired, would you be happy? The Bible itself says that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. That's found in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. And the Bible shows many proofs of that, showing that God made Abraham, David, and many others wealthy. In 1 Kings chapter 3, the Bible shows that after God had asked Solomon what he wanted, and Solomon said that he wanted understanding to be able to judge God's people so that he could discern between right and wrong. In other words, he wanted wisdom. And God told him that he was going to give him wisdom, but then right after that, God also said this in 1 Kings 3, verse 13. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Yet, listen to what Solomon will say about all that in Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. First of all, notice verses 1 and 2. Is there meaning in pleasure? He wrote, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? Solomon did not find the meaning and purpose of life in science, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Nor did he find it in wisdom, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Well, if those two sober views of life could not teach him what is the meaning of life and provide value for life, then perhaps the opposite of all that could show the way of life. Therefore, Solomon spoke to himself again and tested himself this time with amusement. He jumped all the way into the waters of pleasure. If the serious study of life through science, wisdom, and knowledge could not provide meaning to life and show why we're here, then perhaps the other side of life, he figured, might be what life is all about. Perhaps with amusement, material things, pleasure, fun, games, sports, whatever, he would find what life is all about. Right away, in those two verses, before he tells us in more detail what he tried, right away he reveals three things about that kind of life. Number one, he said, it is all vanity. Number two, it is madness. And number three, he said, it accomplishes nothing. Look at some of the pleasures he tried. First of all, in verse 3, wine. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly. till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. He made a decision to gratify his flesh with wine, but he did it wisely. For he himself had written in Proverbs chapter 23 of the dangers of wine. He had written, starting at verse 29 of Proverbs 23, who has woe? Who has sorrows? Who has complaints? Who has contentions? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. So, knowing of those dangers, he still sought pleasure through wine, guiding his heart with wisdom. He didn't want to destroy himself. He didn't want to give himself just totally to this. But he wanted to experience the folly that comes from gratifying your flesh with wine. But again, he kept that folly in check with wisdom. He thought that perhaps the proper combination of amusement, pleasure, wine, wisdom, and folly would expose the meaning of life. Perhaps it was just a matter of balance. Rather than going from one extreme to the other and going all the way into some extreme, he thought, well, maybe that's not it. Maybe it's the proper balance here. Having wisdom and folly. Having the pleasure in wine, but being guided by wisdom. He believed that doing these things might reveal to him what was good for the sons of men to do all their lives under the sun. Verses 4 through 8. He tried this and he tried that. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So on top of the wine, he added more pleasures, making his works great. And he succeeded. Because we still talk about them today, 3,000 years later. He says, first of all, that he built houses. At least here in the New King James Version, that, you know, it's in the plural. Now, he was a king with, the way the Old Testament describes it, with untold wealth. Well, if you were a king or a queen with the wealth that he had, wouldn't you figure that you would need a house in the capital? And you would need a winter home. You would want a summer home and a home in the country. You'd want a home in the mountains and you'd want a home in the desert. You'd desire a home at the beach and you'd desire a home in some city someplace. So no doubt he did that very thing. And perhaps all those homes would bring him the pleasure that he was looking for in life. Could he find meaning and purpose in many beautiful homes? He also said, the way I termed it, he just made his own version of the Garden of Eden, planting vineyards making gardens and orchards, planting different varieties of fruit trees, and he had pools of water for watering all of them. It must have been beautiful to behold, like when you get a magazine, you know, that features homes in it, and you just see some spectacular homes with incredible landscaping, and you just think, wow, I'd like to have a place like that. Surely that brought meaning into his life, right? We try the same things. He could not take care of all that himself, so he says that he had to hire the necessary workers. I mean, he would hire whole families. And it wasn't just for one day job or even a week. I mean, he kept them there to where, you know, they were raising their families there. Servants were being born in his home. And is that not what makes life good? Having many people do your bidding? Solomon possessed more herds, flocks, silver, gold, and he said, the special treasures of kings than anyone before him in Jerusalem and probably after him. That after him is my part that I'm adding. Surely he found there the meaning of life. Getting rich. Are these not the things again for which we labor and toil during our days under the sun? He also said that he acquired the best surround sound stereo system ever invented. The singers and the musicians themselves, not mere recordings as we have. He hired the bands and had them right there to play for himself. Hearing the wonderful tunes of the best music live makes life good. Does it not? Again, we do the same thing. We labor and toil and brag about what we can get. Do we need to hear more from the book of Ecclesiastes to know that everything he listed, you know what he's going to say? Is that it's vanity and grasping for the wind. Verses 9 and 10 now, fulfilling the desire of the eyes. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Putting together his knowledge of science, his wisdom and knowledge of all things, his full range of pleasures, all those things made him great, and he excelled more than anyone before him in Jerusalem. And that's in the Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's a true statement. During all that time, Solomon reminds us that he retained his God-given wisdom. Solomon did not list every pleasure, and he didn't have to. But in verse 10, he just summarized it all. If he saw something that he wanted, he got it. He could afford it. And with his knowledge and wisdom, he knew how to get it and how to use it. You know, there's some things that if I could afford it, I wouldn't know what to do with it. And there's some things that I know what to do with it, but I can't afford it. And Solomon could both afford it and know what to do with it. I mean, that's how much God blessed this man. So name any pleasure, and he says he didn't withhold his heart from it. He rejoiced in all of it. He worked for it. And so he said, that was my labor. I mean, my reward from all my labor. You know, we expect that. We work hard. We want to be rewarded for it. So did he. And it sounds like it brought him a measure of happiness. However, that does not mean that he found the meaning of life in those things. Otherwise, the book of Proverbs would have ended with verse 10. But it doesn't, because he didn't find it. His happiness was empty. Something was still missing. Something was still not right. In verse 11, then, he says, all pleasure is vanity. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. He looked at all his labors. He looked at his pleasures, his laughter, and his wine. He looked at his homes, his vineyards, and his Garden of Eden. He looked at his employees, his wealth, and his music, and any other desire or pleasure that he wanted that he had. He looked at all his labor and toil in which he had sought for the purpose and meaning of life. And what did he conclude? Well, in verse 11, at this point, he concluded with the words of the opening words of the book of Ecclesiastes. The way he began his whole treatise. That it is all vanity. It is all grasping for the wind. There is no profit under the sun. He has not gained anything since we began there in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He's tried many things, and he's still saying it's all profitless. When men and women leave out their reason for existing and forget the one event that is yet to come to all humanity, life becomes meaningless, useless, and profitless. If you only look at life under the sun, you will be in despair eventually. Do you want to give meaning to all things you do? Well, there is one thing you must do, and there is one event coming for which you must prepare. Like I said this morning, Solomon has not revealed those things yet, so I will not at this point. But I want you to stay with me in these sermons. Of course, you can read the book of Ecclesiastes yourself and find out those things. But stick with me in these sermons and we'll discover the answer to those questions. Solomon's journey on the path of life made him try science. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And wisdom, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And now, hedonism. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And so here was a man who, if he could have everything that his eyes desired, would he be happy? Well, he got all that his eyes desired. He saw it and he got it. And he says, that's still not it. The sober view of life and the fun view of life, the pleasure view of life, neither one of those gives meaning and purpose to life, because he was leaving something out. Now, he knows what that thing is. And as we go through the book, he'll drop little hints, and you'll see them. In fact, Lord willing, we'll see it next Lord's Day morning, when we look at the rest of chapter 2, he's going to drop a hint for the first time to let us know What gives meaning to life? If you struggle with life and you need brothers and sisters who are righteous and therefore whose prayers avail much to go before the throne of God and pray for you, then I say, what are you waiting for? Of course, you can always call up a brother or a sister and say, could you please pray for me pertaining to this thing? Or if you want the whole congregation to do it, now is the best time at the invitation. If you have a need, come forward now as we stand and sing.